Hello, and welcome to A Writer's Journey, the podcast that will talk about everything the aspiring author wants to know about going from blank page to published. I'm Sarah Whitford, and I'm here with my co-host, Terrence Zepke. And Terrence, can you believe this is our 15th episode?
I can top that, Sarah. It is our season finale as well.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Yes, we've done 15 episodes. This is going to wrap the first season, and it's a very good episode, I think, to wrap up on, don't you?
I do, definitely. Let's tell them what it's about.
Okay. We're going to talk today about traditional versus indie publishing,
mm-hmm.
a topic that every aspiring writer wants to learn about, I think. So we've decided what we're going to do today is I'm going to take traditional publishing and discuss the pros and cons, and Sarah's going to take indie publishing and talk about the pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have everything you need to know to decide which route is best for you. So you want me to jump it, kick it off?
Yeah, just go ahead and let's just kick this thing off.
Okay. So let me start by saying that these days anyone can get published. So that's the good news. But to be a successful writer is a whole other animal. So before you rush into publishing your book yourself or trying to find a traditional publisher, there's all kinds of information I think that you need to have and to consider. So today we're going to break it down for you, and I'm going to start by talking about traditional publishing. And I'm going to be honest with you, there are lots of pros to traditional publishing. Pro number one is actually you don't have to get into the business end of things.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge deal. You're talking copyright applications, Balker registration, ISBNs, production, book covers, distribution, marketing, sales, all of that stuff. You don't have anything to do with any of it. So that's a pretty big pro to traditional publishing. Also, another pro I consider is less work. You have to do everything yourself when you indie publish. But when you traditionally publish, there's a staff at a publishing house.
Mm-hmm.
And you have editors, a production department, a marketing department. You've got a shipping department. You've got sales reps. So, I mean, pretty much everything's taken out of your hands. So that means less work for you, more time for writing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, something I think is a pretty big deal is less education is required. And by this, I mean, when you go the traditional publishing route, the publisher knows what to do, when to do it, how to do it. I mean, you know, there's no involvement on your part. If you go the indie route, you've got to learn everything a publisher already knows about formatting a book, how to get book reviews, how to get your book carried in bookstores, all kinds of stuff. And it takes a lot of time to learn all this information. It's just not something that's an easy, simple, fast process. So, and also less time commitment. Obviously, if you're doing less work and needing less education, less knowledge, then you don't need as, you know, it's not going to be as much of a time suck, right?
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. Yeah. And then another big pro that I think is better distribution. And this is a really big deal because you need more than Amazon as your book distributor. And I've seen a lot of writers that when they go the indie route publish theirs in ebooks only, digitally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to release it in all formats possible. If it's suited to audio books, print books, ebooks, whatever, you know, if your book is a good fit for these options, the more distribution avenues, the better the possibilities for you. And so you should be aware, though, that when you go the indie route, you would have to apply for a distributorship, and applications are often denied.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't a guarantee. You know, a lot of people think they're going to shop around and figure out who gets the privilege of doing their book, but distributors only want to carry books they think they can sell.
Oh, and we should also, I guess we should also mention, and because even as somebody who's going to be taking the indie side of things here in a minute, Amazon does have enhanced distribution is what they call it on their, if you publish via their CreateSpace model. The only thing is if you've actually looked at the numbers as an indie, you know, as somebody who's going to publish indie myself, I can say that those numbers are abysmal. It's just mm-hmm. nothing that they give you when they do the enhanced distribution. So that's not, I don't think that that's necessarily the answer, but we'll get into that more.
Yeah, we'll talk about it there. But I think no matter what, even if you manage to get a distributor and go that route and all, your sales just aren't going to be as good as through a traditional publisher. For a lot of reasons. One, they've got sales reps that go around and just make sure about things. And so just because your book is listed with the distributor doesn't mean that anybody's actually pushing it. But that's just one thing here. But another big pro, I think, of going with a traditional publisher is no risk. There is no minimum monetary investment. And you may even get an advance with a lot of publishers. So that's certainly something to consider as you're tying up your own resources, your own capital, to get your investment done. Because it's not just a matter of producing the book. There will be other costs with it. But Sarah will talk all that.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing, there's two more pros I have here, and that's on the experts on the job. In a traditional publishing house, there's a staff of trained, knowledgeable professionals that are working on your book from start to finish. And so that's a big plus. When you go the indie route, you're bound to make some costly mistakes along the way because you're learning as you go. So, and last but not least, and I'm sure Sarah's going to touch on this when she talks about indie there, but credibility. There's still a lot of stigma in the indie community. It's come a long ways. I know they used to call it vanity press and self-publishing and just sort of demeaned it a bit when they did that, but now they call it indie publishing and they've got organizations that represent it, and there's a lot of credited authors that are going the both routes, traditional mm-hmm. and indie.
Hybrid authors, yeah.
Hybrid authors, yes, thank you. But you can't deny, and Amazon's a big part of that. If it hadn't been for Amazon opening the doors, there just wasn't any way. You could create a book, but then you just couldn't get it carried anywhere. You couldn't get it out to the public. The distributorship, the system that was in place was just so closed door. To non-traditional publishing. And so Amazon, no matter how you feel about them, you have to give them credit for, breaking down that barrier there. But I think that there's still some snobbery in the business. There's a problem with book reviewers and other key players, including distributors in this business, not wanting to go near indie books. You know, and this isn't across the board. I'm just saying some, mm-hmm. some have a problem with that. And that can be because there are a lot of, Sarah, how do I put it? Not so good books.
Yes, yes.
Being produced.
We talked about this in an earlier episode. There's just subpar work out there part of a lot of indie writers.
Yeah. So when magazines, book reviewers, different outlets are seeing some of these bad books, it's hard to they're seeing this as a representation of the indie community. It's so that can be. That can be bad. So that writers who can't write but think they can, or writers that don't know how to edit or don't realize they should hire an editor, they just hurt the profession there. And writers that don't know how to pull it all together, if you aren't going to really be committed to doing learning how to professionally put together a publicity packet and how to do a book cover. I've seen some really, really bad book covers out there, Sarah, and I know you're going to speak to that, so I'll leave that to you. But you just got to be able to assemble a professional product, and if you don't, then that just hurts the credibility there. But that's pretty much the big pros to traditional publishing. And I have to tell you, I was thinking about this, preparing for this talk today. I only see two cons to traditional publishing.
Okay, you tell us what they are, and then when I launch into the whole list of the pros of indie publishing, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll let our listeners decide for themselves.
Yeah, we're kind of crossing over with some of it, because I've touched a bit on some of the stuff you're going to talk about, because, some of the pros are going to be cons for the other and vice versa,
mm-hmm.
so, but you can explore it some more. But a big one here is contractual issues.
That's huge, Terrence.
It's
That's huge.
Huge. I told you, there's only two cons, but they're huge. A writer gives up a lot in order to get published traditionally,
mm-hmm.
and the publisher will tell you that the contract is designed to protect both parties. But I'm here to tell you it's very much a one-sided document meant to best protect and serve the publisher,
mm-hmm.
no doubt about it. And there's not a publisher out there that I'm not applying this to. and it's hard to negotiate much during your first book contract. The publisher just won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to give in. I mean, you're J.K. Rowling. You've got a lot of leverage with
That's
the publisher.
Right, yep.
But when you're a nobody and you're just trying to get somebody to take your work there, you're going to sign away a lot of rights. And so what I recommend doing if you go traditional publishing route is after you're established, after you do that first book, I recommend getting a lawyer who specializes in copyright law to review your contract. My lawyer has changed all kinds of clauses that I didn't even see in the contracts over the years. And some of the stuff the publisher has agreed to, some of the stuff the publisher absolutely balked at, and some things we just sort of met in the middle with a compromise a bit. And you know what they say about compromise, but that's just something, you know, and that's just important, very big issue. And along those lines, the other con would be loss of control. And
that's
sort of
another
huge thing. It falls under what I just said. Once you sign on with the publisher, the book is out of your hands.
Yes.
They decide when it's going to be released, when your deadline to turn it in is, how it's going to be distributed, marketed, everything. And I'll tell you a story. I remember one time when the publisher sent me a galley for one of my books and it included the little mock cover for the book.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the cover, Sarah.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't think it wasn't what I had envisioned at all, and I said so. And I'll tell you, the executive editor was reasonably friendly about it, but also quite firm. They were sorry I didn't like it, but they felt it was the right cover for this title, and that was pretty much the end of the matter.
Mm.
I mean, so that's everything I need to say, I think, about traditional publishing pros and cons. And so I'm sure you're going to use that as a springboard
as you move
into yours.
I'm chomping at the bit here, Terrence. I cannot wait. I was taking notes even as you were talking because I was thinking, okay, first of all, the number one pro for indie publishing, in my view, is one of the cons, one of the two cons for traditional publishing, and that is control, ultimate control. For my part, as I said, I am planning to publish my novel that I've been working on, Smuggler's Gambit, as independently. The way I feel about it is this. If I have put this much effort and heart and time and frustration and everything into a novel, I am not about to put it out there for, you know, agents who have 50,000 other manuscripts on their desk to decide, you know, because something's not formatted right on the first page or whatever, to not even pick it up. See, you have to get past the gatekeepers first, the agents.
Very true.
And furthermore, even if I got past an agent, I would not want to relinquish control of my novel to a publishing house. I don't want them making the lion's share of the royalties. Terrence mentioned the fact that you will sell more books when you're traditionally published. I believe that. But on the other hand, I think one thing that we need to remember is you might sell more books, but does it really translate to more money for the writer? Because a lot of independently published writers who are doing great, great business selling their books as ebooks, as print books, you know, across the spectrum, the ones that are really employing different methods, they're not just sticking maybe with Amazon. They're tapping into iBooks. They're tapping into, you know, books for the Nook. They're tapping into all different sorts of methods in addition to print. They're also taking the lion's share of their royalties rather than, you know, having to give so much up to a publisher, which I think is a huge benefit, not to mention complete creative control. I do think that it's important, though, to take seriously the fact that you're creating a novel and that you want to publish it independently. You need to get the novel as good as you possibly can before you release it to the public. Don't put something out there that you've written and that you've just gone over and done some little edits and revisions. Don't treat this like a paper that you're turning into your 11th grade English teacher. You know, this is something that needs professional. If you can possibly afford it, put a professional set of eyes on that novel. There are plenty of editors out there that you can hire, even if you can only hire an editor to go through a chapter. There are some that will just do limited edits, and that way you can get an idea of the kinds of things that they're looking for and then try to learn from that and apply the principles that they've given you to the rest of your novel. But definitely, if you can afford it, try to get a professional editor, even if it's just for a last copy edit. There are ample resources out there today to learn everything that you need to know about the publishing business. And if you really wanted to do things just to get your book out there, of course you can just go the CreateSpace way. When it comes to book covers, I've from the experience that I've had in talking to authors, I'll just say that the CreateSpace cover design is really limited in what it will let you do, I guess, unless you get into to more paid tiers of cover design. I'm a designer by trade. I do editing. I do website development. I also do graphic design, so I do all of that. And so I'm very comfortable when it comes to getting my book out there, taking on those tasks. I know not everyone is comfortable with those things. Fortunately, there are ways of just sort of using the templates that are available. If you have,
and there are people you can hire.
That's right. There are people you can hire. It always comes back to, you know, yes, it's going to come back to money. The final product that you're able to put out, as far as the overall appearance of it, is going to come back to the money that you're able to invest in it. But I am a firm believer in the cream will rise to the top. And if you have an amazing story, and the cover might not be great, and, you know, the formatting inside might not be ideal, I do believe that if people are just really riveted by the story, they're going to pass that along to others and say, you've got to read this. You know, I know it doesn't look like much, but you've got to read this. So I do believe that, you know, if you've really written something special, you know, and just because it's special to you doesn't mean it's going to rivet readers. I'm facing that with my own novel. I'm in love with the story that I've written. That doesn't mean other people are going to feel the same way about it. And I won't know until I put it out there. But the fact is, I do believe that word of mouth can be huge for indie writers. And that's another thing, you know. Terrence, you said that the publishers will do everything. You know, they handle the Balker, the ISBN, marketing, and sales. But I've heard that a lot of traditionally published authors do still end up having to do a lot of their own marketing.
Well, everybody has to do some, and no one's going to have an investment in the book that you have. And you always have to do some marketing, but you're doing 100% of it as an indie. Yeah, there's no one else that's doing any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're helping the publisher and you're doing some marketing, but they're producing catalogs. You know, they're going to trade shows. They're doing a lot of stuff as well as anything that you're doing. But there's definitely some marketing. And for me, I'm talking mainly like social media and stuff now that they want authors to do. That's something no one else can handle but you, whatever route you go. But there's definitely there's definitely services and help. You know, they create press releases, they send them out, they help set up book signings and book tours and things. There's definitely a lot that they take out of your hands.
Well, I have another. I've been very fortunate to know different authors over the course of my life, and one author I know who publishes independently has said that he does it for two reasons. One is, first of all, he wants to make most of the money off of his books. He doesn't want a publisher making the money off of his books. But the other reason is for posterity, because apparently when a traditional publisher takes on your book, they don't have to guarantee that they're going to keep it in print. And so if they ever decide not to keep printing it, it's not like you can take your book yourself and just keep printing it, you know, and put it into a new edition. The same is true if for whatever reason they don't want to put, you know, there are some writers that I've heard have had contracts before e-books came out, and that ended up getting them into some trouble because, you know, here was a new method of publishing a book, and the author might have wanted to do that for themselves, but the publisher wants to have control of it, and it's not really agreeable, the terms that they're, you know, they can't agree on the terms of how that works. And so, you know, that control thing, it touches on so many different facets of what it means to be a writer, to create artistically, and to have, it's really a product that you want to market. And so if you're, you know, there are, in some cases, I definitely believe it makes sense for people to just try to go the traditional route. I don't think that there's anything wrong with people wanting to do that. It's not for me. So,
well, I think that you should point out to everyone, though, you have all this expertise, mm-hmm. and abilities and credentials that a lot of people don't have, Sarah. I mean, you can work in all kinds of design software, programming. You create, you're a magazine editor, you're a website developer, you create book covers. I mean, you can do it all, but most of us can't, Sarah.
Yes, but Terrence, here's the thing, though. Is it better? Is it better to have written a novel and not ever see it published because an agent won't pick you up? Or is it better at that point to make it happen for yourself?
Well, certainly, if you have a book you feel a story feels strongly about and you've tried to go that route and you just can't get a publisher, get an agent, then you might want to explore it. But if you're somebody that's not savvy in this area, that doesn't want to get involved in the business end of things, that doesn't have the capital to pay for all the things that are going to be involved to make the book a success, then it might not be a route for you. It might not be something you want to start with at the very least. And I think something that should be mentioned here, I don't know if you're getting that. I might be getting the cart before the horse, but it's a very, very, very competitive indie route now because so many people are able to do it and they have done it. So you're competing with a lot of other books out there. I saw a figure recently that was staggering, that 3,000 new books a day or something appearing. That's a lot of competition.
It is, but it goes back to what I said, though, about I do believe that the cream rises to the top. Indie music has been a thing for, decades now, and it certainly hasn't stopped a lot of successful, indie bands from becoming wildly popular or independently made films, and so, but ultimately it comes down to having something that just really reaches people. And the fact is, if people read it and they love it, they're going to tell other people about it. And by the same token, I was really inspired. I was really inspired by one of the presentations at the Writer's Digest conference I went to back in August. It was fine. The conference had a lot of different speakers on a lot of different topics, but one that really stuck with me that left an impression on me was Michael J. Sullivan, and he talked about Goodreads. But it wasn't just about Goodreads for him. The presentation he gave, though, was on how Goodreads can make your career. And I have a post about that on my website, but the long and short of his presentation, again, wasn't just about Goodreads. It was about interacting with people and putting yourself out there and letting readers know that you see them as people, that that you're interested in what they're interested in as far as about your book, engaging with these people. Don't look at them as just little, just like little people who are reading your book. These are the people who can make or break your book, And so he was really talking a lot about engaging. And I'll tell you, I posted that article on my website shortly after I got back from the conference. He wasted no time commenting on the article on my blog. He retweeted about it on his Twitter. That's the kind of thing that can go a long way.
But now,
standing out, And he's independently published, but see, he's also been able to get some traditional publishing deals because of the wildly popular, sort of grassroots support of his books, because they're good. They're good books,
Well, Sarah, you've been my social media tormentor. I meant mentor. But, we're not all as good at that as you are. And that's just another factor to consider.
Excuses. They have all of these books out there. Not to mention, you can go. There are so many websites about how to use Twitter, how to use Facebook, how to use Goodreads or Pinterest or any of the. I mean, for goodness sakes, if you go on Twitter, you can hardly get through the day without seeing a good million tweets from social media marketing experts. There is so much help out there, plenty of free help at that for people to learn if they want to put in the effort.
Again, you're talking about putting in a lot of time. What about people that have full-time jobs and children and all kinds of other commitments that they're trying to do this on the side? That's something they have to figure out. Are they all in?
Well, you mean like me, working full-time from home, homeschooling, and balancing all this. So the point is, I think, it really comes down to what people want to do. And a lot of people, they just don't want to mess with it. And that's fine. I don't criticize them for that choice. But what I want people to hear from me on this conversation is, if you want to publish independently, you can do it. And it's going to be up to you to make your book a success. That's not necessarily a bad thing. That can be a good thing. That means you don't have anybody to blame but you if you don't get it out there and you don't make it the best it can be you also don't have anybody that you have to really get permission from to do creatively what you want to do with your book, to keep total control of it. I'm glad that there are a lot of different ways to publish. I'm glad that there is traditional publishing. You know, I wouldn't want that to be done away with. I think it's a fantastic thing. I wouldn't say that I would never want to publish traditionally. There might be a time when I would want to write, you know, some kind of books that I wouldn't mind turning over to a publisher to handle, because I might not be as passionate about them as I am about the book that I'm writing right or that I'm working on right now. You know.
Well, I will tell you one thing, Sarah, that I believe in both. I think there's room for all kinds of things in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But my big, I guess, grievance or peeve with indie publishing is I'm seeing now, if you go in and look at these e-books, these people that are desperate to sell their book, they're practically giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are. Their books are free or they're 99 cents and all that. So they're really, really cheapening the you know what I'm saying?
I do, but I've also heard, it seems like I read just the other day, it's actually better a lot of times when an e-book author does bump up the price of their book, that they might take a hit for a short time on sales, but when they bump it up, readers will value it more, you know, because readers see all these books out there that are only 99 cents. There's a lot of people who might not mind spending 99 cents on an e-book, but then there's a lot of people who just figure, ugh.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You get what you pay for. Whereas when someone has, you know, an independently published novel that they're selling for $4.99, you automatically think, well, hey, you know, this might be a better book. You know, if I'm investing more money in it, there is something to that.
I just caution everybody: if you go the indie route, you know, please don't give your, you know, don't short sell yourself, your work. How long and how hard have you worked on this book? And how much have you spent to get it to this stage? And then just to turn it over for 99 cents,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, that just, I don't think that's the solution to getting your book out there
mm-hmm.
for people. And I don't think, Sarah, when you put Smuggler's Gambit out there, you're going to let it go for 99 cents.
Not a chance. No.
Right.
No.
And so I just think that that's really just cheapening things up, and if everybody would just say, I believe my book has a value,
mm-hmm.
and just price it higher. That's just my big grievance, is I'm just seeing so many of these. Okay, enough said.
Well, you know, I do have an example of someone I know who is, you know, going to be taking or trying to pursue the traditional publishing route with her novel that she's been working on. Actually, it's done with revisions. I think she might even have it out right now for agents. I'm not sure, but she's a full-time school teacher. She's a mom, and you know, she's very busy. And she has said that she definitely wants to try to go the traditional publishing route because she just doesn't have the time nor the inclination for the stress of it. So that's what I was talking about when I said it's down to a choice, you know. In her case, I think it makes total sense if she wants to go the traditional publishing route. I hope she knows, too, though, that if for some reason, you know, and agents don't pick up on it, that doesn't mean her book's not worth getting out there. She's, you know, she still has that independent publishing option available to her. But, you know, in her case, I think it makes perfect sense if she wants to go that route. But I also wouldn't blame her if she wanted to try to learn about independent publishing, you know, and not do traditional publishing. So I don't want anyone to misunderstand me that I think that they're, you know, selling out if they want to go with traditional publishing.
Well, another thing
that,
you know, like I said, that you can try traditional publishing first,
mm-hmm.
and then the feedback you get might be very valuable to how you proceed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're getting a lot of feedback about they just don't think it's a book that will sell, they think that it's got major problems, all that, then, you know, it doesn't matter if you self-publish or go traditional. That book needs some more work.
Mm-hmm.
That's not ready to be released by anyone. So you can get some valuable feedback by starting at that route there, because if you get 25 rejections from different people that are telling you the same thing, then you got to start listening
mm-hmm.
and reworking your book regardless of what you do next. So
that's a good point. That's mm-hmm. a good point. Well, again, I'm just thankful that there are as many options out there today. You know, I have to admit, I have a lot of little books on my bookshelves that were independently published back. A lot of them were published back, you know, I guess you could almost call it Vanity Press era, but they're not novels. They're, you know, little regional books that have been written about you know, little local folk tales or little local histories or little memoirs of, you know, like the little 80-something-year-old lady who used to live in the next county. Or, you know, I think that they're charming. I love, you know, I love people who, you know, want to just go out and get their book published and put it out there and make it available. Obviously, that those aren't novels, and you know, so, but I just love that there are so many different ways, and I do love that it is easier now to independently publish than ever before. And I do believe that there is a lot of, you know, there is a lot of noise out there. I think that there are a lot of people, frankly, who put stuff out there that they just don't put a lot of effort into it. They're just trying to just generate content. And that, I mean, that is a pain, because then people have to filter through all of that and weed through it. But, you know, hopefully, hopefully when writers such as myself, this is what I envision. Tell me if you think I'm completely wrong about this, Terrence. I would love your advice if you've heard anything about this, but when I finally am ready to publish Smuggler's Gambit, you know, I was on the fence for a while because I was thinking about actually having my book independently printed and then getting a distributor and trying to have it distributed that way. And I've ultimately decided against that. I think I have decided I'm going to go, you know, probably go through CreateSpace or something like that, some print-on-demand service. But, you know, what I would like to think could happen is, you know, the people who do read the book can leave reviews. I'm not going to hire anybody to leave any reviews. You know, hopefully there'll, you know, there'll be some good reviews, just whether it's people who, you know, people who, whether they know me or not. You know, I'm certainly not going to tell people to, you know, to leave a certain kind of review. But one thing I have wondered about, though, is the distribution thing. You know, you've been traditionally published, but what do you know? And maybe we'll have to do an episode about this in the future sometime, in another season. But when it comes to distributing or finding a distributor to put books out there, I've already touched on the fact that Amazon's enhanced distribution leaves the author with virtually nothing in terms of royalties. So what other kinds of options would be out there? What is the process like?
It's tough, especially if you have one book. You know, you've got one title. Distributors usually like, you know, at least a handful of titles before they mess with you. The biggest distributors out there are Ingram and Baker and Taylor.
Okay.
And Ingram has a program for indie publishers called Ingram Spark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the rival, I think, to CreateSpace. So those are the two biggest options. If you go that route. But there's a lot of other distributors and a lot of other possibilities. And you're right, I thought what we would do when we do the season two is we'll be talking about publish now what.
Uh-huh.
And we'll kind of pick up from this point on, because it's just too much to get into at the tail end of a conversation like this, because it's just a complicated, complex issue. So that's my thoughts.
Well, Lord willing, we'll have a forthcoming season, and so this is a good, hopefully, teaser for it, and so people can know that if they stay tuned, if they keep track of our websites, mine is sarahwhitford.com, that's sarahwhitford.com, and Terrence's is terrancezepke.com, then we'll hopefully have some announcements there if and when we start season two. And do you have a quote of the day for us today?
I do. It's from James Michener, and he says, "I love writing. I love the swirl and swing of words as they tangle with human emotions."
Oh, very good. Very good.
Isn't that good? Yeah.
Very good. Well, I think this has been a great season. I hope our listeners have enjoyed it half as much as we have, because I know it's been fun discussing some of these things. And personally, I've gone back and listened to our episodes myself and ended up catching things that you said, Terrence, that I might not have missed when we were in the midst of our conversation. And so it's been educational even for me.
Such wise words, right?
Yes, absolutely. Hey, I'm always happy to go to you for advice when it comes to writing matters and publishing matters and all that good stuff. So.
Well, do make sure, I guess we should tell everybody that they can get these back episodes off of our websites or off of iTunes.
That's right.
Which you have them, and we've got 14 of them that starts from when you first have an idea mm-hmm. for your novel all the way up to this point here where you're deciding how you want it to be published. So I think it is a lot of good information that they might want to go back and pick up some of it if they're just now catching us.
Yes, absolutely. Here's the idea. Go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, download back episodes, and listen to them when you're doing your holiday traveling or you're wrapping presents or whatever, because you might be surprised at some of the tips you might pick up during these episodes.
And again, that's A Writer's Journey from Blank Page to Published.
Mm-hmm.
And we also do on our websites, I think Sarah said, we've put some resources that they can either read, and some of them that you've gone and done in printout format for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's lots of good additional stuff there. So, yeah, and when we come back, the next season, we'll be getting into the real nitty-gritty, right?
Oh, that's right, and I can't wait because I'll hopefully know a little bit more about the process by then, and because I'll be more into the actual publishing end of my own book.
Oh, sweet naive Sarah.
Oh, my goodness. I am not detracted, no matter what you say. I'm not detracted, Terrence.
Okay.
Okay, good. Well, thanks so much, listeners. Until next time.